the door. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 97. I have got this little fuzzy thing. I reckon that'll be all right. You'd have to have a degree to get that thing on this thing. I done tried twice. Yeah, okay. Psalms chapter 97. Let me go ahead and give you the title of this particular psalm. We're going to title this psalm, Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Everybody say that with me. Rejoice in the Lord. That's what we're going to title it. And I'm going to show you the reason why. If you look down into verse 12, it says, what does it say in verse 12? Rejoice in the Lord. And if you'll look up at the beginning, let's go ahead and look at the number of times it encourages us to either be glad or to rejoice. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. I'm sorry, 97, just teasing you. I was in Psalms 96. And I got new glasses, too, by the way. Now look at Psalms 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth do what? Rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad. You see, rejoice and be glad in verse 1. Look down at verse 8. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced. And then, of course, in verse 12, rejoice in the Lord. So one of the things I think this particular psalm does is it encourages God's people to rejoice in the Lord. You can't always rejoice in circumstances. You know, maybe certain things happen that make you sad, you know. But you can always rejoice in the Lord, in the things that you have in the Lord. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you three reasons to rejoice. Actually, it will be more than that. That's just going to be my main points, but I have sub-points under them. Let me go ahead and give you the outline. Number one, you're to rejoice because the Lord reigneth. Verse 1. You're to rejoice because the Lord reigneth. Verse 1. Okay? Number 2. You're to rejoice because of the Lord's judgment. And that's verses 3 through verse 8. You're to rejoice because of the Lord's judgment. Actually, verse 2 through 8. Okay, ready for the last one? You're to rejoice because of the Lord's blessings. And that's verses 9 through 12. Let me give them to you again. All right. You're to rejoice because the Lord reigneth, verse 1. You're to rejoice because of the Lord's blessings, verses 2 through 8. I'm sorry, because of the Lord's... I'm on a roll tonight, ain't I? You're to rejoice because of the Lord's judgments, verses 2 through 8. And you're to rejoice because of the Lord's blessings, verses 9 through 12. Now, God's people, it's to be a way of life for God's people is to rejoice in the Lord. Do you agree or not? It's to be a way of life. And a lot of times people, when they think about being a Christian, one of the things they think about is having what? Having joy. Having joy and having happiness. I've had people, when I've worked on a job before, come up and say, boy, I wish I had what you had. Has you ever had anybody do you that way? You seem to always be happy. Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm not always happy. I wished I was all the time, because this old flesh body and things that happen sometimes draws you down. But a Christian's life should sway to rejoicing. And because we have abundant reasons to, and we're going to look at some of those things tonight. The book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, to rejoice in the Lord always. It didn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It said to rejoice in the Lord always. So it's to be a way of life for God's people. Now, I think rejoicing is a choice you have to make. It's a choice you have to make. For instance, Psalms, I forgot to look it up, I believe. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord hath made. Then what did the rest of it say? Let us rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See, so you're making a choice to rejoice in the Lord. And that has a great effect upon you, on your mind, upon you spiritually. Usually it's one thing that brings you down, or just a few things that brings you down or makes you sad, when we have an abundant of reasons to rejoice. And the spiritual blessings, of course, that we're going to look at a little bit later, but and the totality of our spiritual blessings, they're more than we can number. And you can't even put a price tag on them. So the rejoicing in the Lord is a way of life for God's people. Okay, so let me ask you a question tonight before I begin. How much do you rejoice in the Lord? How much do you really rejoice in the Lord? It's a good testimony, and it has an uplifting effect upon yourself personally. It makes you more thankful, makes you more appreciative. So that's the title of this particular text. Now let's go ahead and look at verse 1. It says, "Oh, sing." I'm sorry, let me get off Psalms 96. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad." Now, why are we to rejoice in verse 1? Because the Lord reigns. Because the Lord reigns. Now, and in this section that we're in, if you'll look back at chapter 93, you'll remember I preached an entire message, Hollis said, on three words. But in reality, we did. But if you'll look at verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth" in Psalms 93. Look at 96. Really look at 96 this time. 96 and verse 10 says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth." You see how he's stressing that in this section? Of course, we've already read it in Psalms 97. Now look at Psalms chapter 99, verse 1, how it begins. "The Lord reigneth." So it's wanting you to get a, want to impress you with this. The Lord indeed does reign. Now, we're not going to re-preach that message, but that indeed is a reason to rejoice. We're to rejoice because the Lord indeed does reign. Now, we're going to talk in a little bit about how there's going to come a future reign of Christ over a new heaven and new earth. We know that. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a little bit. But the idea that the Lord reigns, He's reigning right now. Our God is, we like to say this. God's people like to say this. Even when sometimes circumstances look bad, or even sometimes when we're going through a hard time, I'll look at it and I say, "Well, the Lord's still on His throne." You ever say that? And that's a good thing to say, and it's a reason to rejoice. Hey, come what happens in my life or in your life, if you're the Lord's still on His throne. And that, what does that mean? That means He's in control. That means He reigns. He's Lord in heaven above and on earth beneath. So when it says the Lord reigns, that's a reason to rejoice because God's on His throne. And you know what that means for us? You remember these? Let me give them to you again. I'm going to wear these out. Let me show you what this means to us. That means if He's on His throne, He always knows what He's going to do. He always knows what He's going to do. Do you realize that? Do you ever look at a situation and think, I don't know what the Lord's going to do here. I don't know what to do here. See, the Lord always knows what He's going to do. Remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and there was about probably 10,000 people down in a valley, and they had 5 barley loaves. And 2, they couldn't even be big fish. Not the 2 big fish would have made very much difference, but it was 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Little boy's lunch is all they had to feed 10,000 people probably. Remember, it was 5,000 women, or 5,000 men, not including women and children. So there was a lot of people there. And he looked over at one of his disciples, and he said, "Where are we going to get enough to... I believe it was Philip. Where are we going to get enough to feed all these people?" And you know what else the text says? Although Jesus knew what He was going to do. He just let Him look at it for a little bit. And He did just like, and I don't know if you've done this before, but I've looked at situations and said, "Man, this is hopeless. Ain't nothing can be done here. This, to me, it looked hopeless." But the Lord always knows what He's going to do. Always. Okay? Why does He always know that? Because He's on His throne. The Lord reigns. Number 2, here's the other one. The Lord's always in control. You remember these six? The Lord's always in control, even when things look out of control. He's still on His throne, you see. He's still reigning. The Lord's always in control, even when things of your life, even when things appear out of control. Remember on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee? The storm hit. The boat was filling full of water. Remember, we've talked about it a million times. All these things were beginning to happen. Was Jesus still in control? He just got up out of there and told it to shut up, and it stopped. Peace, be still. And the wind, the waves stopped. He was in control the whole time, but it looked like everything was chaotic and out of control. Same thing is true in your life. Even when things look out of control, who reigns? He reigns. And that means that He's in control even when things look out of control. And of course, number three, since He reigns and He's on His throne, He can do exceedingly abundantly. Now you think about that. Now if He just said abundantly, that would be good enough for me. But He said He can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or even think. I mean, sometimes you'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is a big problem. It might be big to you, but He can do above what you ask or even think. There's nothing too big for Him. There's cases in the Scriptures where He says, this is but a small thing in my eyes. Or in my sight. So that's what it means when we're talking about the Lord reigning. We're saying that He's on His throne, which means that He's in control. If He's in control, then He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. And He always knows what He's going to do. All of these great blessings that we stressed throughout this particular year. Aren't you glad He reigns? Man, I'd fall apart if I didn't know the Lord was on the throne. Lord's on the throne. You get bad news? What do you say to it? Lord's on His throne. Lord's in control. And He has a purpose. I don't guess this is true. Would you think that this next statement is true? This is the fourth statement of the six statements of strength that we preached on earlier in the year. Lord has a purpose for everything He permits. Does everybody in the house believe that? Now that gives you strength. That means that's how much control He has. And He has that much control in your life. Now you don't always understand why the Lord permits things. But you have to trust what He says in His Word. You have to trust Him. So the Lord reigns. Is that a reason to rejoice? See the first reason? He said the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. That's a reason for God's people to rejoice. He's on His throne. Man, if I didn't know that, I don't think I could make it. Man, I'd stay tore up all the time. I'll get tore up sometimes, and I'll just say, hey, the Lord's on His throne. There ain't no use fooling around with these things, and I'm just going to trust the Master. See? Aren't you glad He's on His throne? So that's the first reason to rejoice, okay? Now, of course, there is coming a future reign when Jesus will reign over a perfect earth. Does everybody hear that? See this earth that we're living on right here? It's going to be destroyed. We're going to look at that here in just a little bit in this psalm. He's done destroyed it once. He destroyed it by water. Is there evidence of that? Well, yeah, there's evidence. They find, remember, I've done, I love this, and y'all remember back from January. They find seashell fossils on the highest mountains of the world. Seashell fossils on top of the Mount Everest and on the Himalayas, all these different mountain ranges. Matter of fact, I had pictures that I showed you. There's a desert out in Arizona, and out there was a big seashell fossil bed. You say, well, how did all those seashell fossils get on top of all these mountains? And even out in the deserts, there was water out there one time. You can read about that in the book of Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 9. It'll tell you how the water got there. That's what caused all the fossils. He's then destroyed it once. And the evidence is there that you can see. But He's going to destroy it again, folks. This next time He's going to destroy it, He's going to destroy it by fire. He's going to destroy it by fire. And what's going to take place, and Jesus is going to set up a kingdom, our kingdom. He's our king, is he not? If he's our king, it means he has a kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. The most important thing is to be a part in that kingdom and to have your name written there to where you're a part of it. This whole world and everything that's in it's not going to last. And all if all that you have is things of the world, then it's just going to be fuel for the fire, or you're going to leave it behind when you die. You need to be a part of his kingdom. That's the most important thing in the world. So he's going to have a future reign. And you know the reason why that's a reason to rejoice? When Jesus reigns, he's called the Prince of... He's the Prince Sar Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. And he'll rule over a kingdom. And in his kingdom, there won't be no war, or there won't be no suffering. There won't be no death. There won't be no sorrow. Boy, I tell you, folks, I'll walk down a hospital aisle and I'll look in the rooms of people that are sick, or I'll go into a nursing home and I'll see people just in horrible shape. And I think, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In his kingdom, when Jesus reigns over this perfect earth, there won't be no more of these things. I think about that sometimes, don't you? Paul did in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, while we look not at those things which are seen, but we look at those things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. These are eternal things. So we're to rejoice in the Lord's present reign, that he's on his throne. But we also rejoice in the fact that he's going to rule one day over a perfect earth. There's not going to be no sin in it. No cemeteries in it. No hospitals in it, because nobody gets sick. You say, you really believe that? It's what the Scripture says. Scripture is right in everything that it tells you. You need to be a part of that. And in order to be a part of that, you know what you have to do? You have to trust the King, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at the next reason to rejoice. First reason was what? Because the Lord reigns. What's the next reason to rejoice here in Psalms chapter 97? And I'll fight the feeling to read Psalms 96 again when I look down here at verse 2. All right? Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Of course, the Lord is, when he judges, his judgment is righteous and his judgment is just in whatever he does. Now, that's never to be questioned. Not by us. Never to be questioned. He's righteous and just in all that he does. Now, as we read here in these verses, it sort of sounds like the second coming. As a matter of fact, you can cross-reference these verses, and you can see where these things are seemingly referred to in the New Testament, and it well could be talking about the judgment that happens on the lost and on the earth at the second coming. And you might be thinking, well, why should we rejoice over God's judgments? Well, we'll talk about that once I get through it, okay? Let's look down at verse 3 now. A fire goes before him. Before who? Before the Lord. And it burns up his enemies round about. So here, let's go ahead and read. His lightnings enlighteth the world. The earth saw and trembled. See? Sounds like the second coming, doesn't it? He burns up his enemies. You have the people of the world trembling. That's what it says in the book of Luke chapter 21. Men's heart failing them when Jesus comes. Those that don't know the Lord, it says men's heart failing them for fear. See? Why would they be fearful? Well, they've sat in church services just like this, and they've heard preachers just like me preach on these things. And here the Lord's coming, and they're not what? And they're not ready, and it causes them to tremble, see? It causes them fear. Verse 5, again, sounds like judgment. The hills melted like wax. Ever seen wax melt? Of course, when Jesus comes again and he destroys this earth, it's going to melt just like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see. All the people see his glory. Let's look at a couple things now. Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. We rejoice tonight because the Lord reigns, but we're also rejoiced because of His judgments. 2 Peter chapter 3 says in verse 10, it says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now, when we're talking about a thief coming, it's mainly stressing the fact that it'll be unexpected. You don't know when a thief's coming. Of course, if you know when a thief was coming, what would you do? You'd wait up for him and have something waiting on him when he come through the window. You really would. But it says here that he's coming like a thief. When Jesus, it means he's coming like a thief. It's unexpected when he comes. You don't know when he's coming. I know he's coming, but I can't tell you the day and the time that he's coming. And what does that mean? That means you always have to be ready. You say, "Well, Jeff, could Jesus come tonight?" Listen to me. Absolutely, he could come tonight. Ain't there anything left that has to happen? No. The next thing on the Lord's agenda is the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You best be ready for it. See, he's coming like a thief. And it'll catch a lot of people unexpected. It'll catch a lot of people unexpected. Okay? Now let's read on. It says, "In the night in which the heavens shall pass away." The heavens, what you see above, it'll pass away. Did you realize that passes away too? Not just the earth, the heavens and the earth. Notice what it says. "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt," remember, "shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved." That means everything you see. Buildings will be dissolved. "What manner of persons ye ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, they shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So I think that's probably the same thing that Psalms 97 is describing. He's describing him burning his enemies. He's describing him melting the mountains. And that's all in the future. And I figure that's exactly what it's referring to. God's going to bring judgment. Everyone here tonight, you know, I mean, if the Lord would come, of course, if the Lord would come tonight, what happens to His people? His people would be caught out of here. He's not going to destroy this place by fire until you're safe. Aren't you glad? He's not going to do it. It's going to be like in Lot. You know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But before He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, remember what He did? He sent two angels in there, and they got Lot out of there. Okay, and once he was safe, then God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Ain't nothing but tar pits over there today. He wiped them off the earth. Okay? Well, He's going to do that again, except He's going to do it on a worldwide scale. He's going to burn up this entire planet. See? And then what's going to happen? Well, before He does that, He's going to make sure He gets us safe. Gets us out. Gets us out of here. The trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ, He'll bring all the dead in Christ back with Him, their spirits, and then there'll be a resurrection of their body, and they'll be in the clouds of heaven. That happens first, and then what happens? "We which are alive and remain," if that would happen at 8:15, we go up, we go out here. Wouldn't it be awesome? Oh, I'd like to be alive when the Lord comes here on earth. I'll be alive whether I'm in heaven or here. But I'd like to see Him come, wouldn't you? Hear the trumpet. Go out and see Him coming down. Get His people out of here. Go make sure you're safe first. My friends, tonight, if you've not trusted Christ, then you won't be safe. It's the reason why the book of Matthew chapter 24 says all the kindreds of the earth will mourn. Because why are they mourning? They're not ready. They've never trusted Christ. Never trusted Him. Oh, the most important thing in the world is to know the Master. So He's describing the judgment. Now let's turn to the book of Revelations. Got to be careful. I can go all night on this subject, but I've done enough of that this year. Book of Revelations. Book of Revelations chapter... find the right chapter here. Chapter 16, I believe. Let me see if I can wing that one. Hopefully I marked it. Okay. Now you say, well, Jeff, why would people rejoice because of judgment? Well, I don't think it's one of these where we're, oh boy, we're happy that they're being judged or being burned up. Certainly, we're not glad for that. But we're rejoicing because God's judgment is righteous and just. That's what we're rejoicing in. That His judgment has come, and His judgment is what? It's righteous and it's just. Now here's an example of it, except it's speaking of an angel. In the book of Revelation chapter 16, notice what it says. Now, when the Lord comes and takes these people out, one of the things He's going to do is plague this earth. And one of the things He did in Egypt was He turned the Nile River to blood, didn't He? But in the tribulation, what He's going to do is He's going to turn all the waters to blood. That's a judgment. Does everybody agree? I mean, can you imagine? Can all river be blood? All the waters will be blood. Now notice what this says in verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard a voice out of heaven. Now notice this. Notice they're praising God. He turned all the waters to blood, and now they're praising God for it. Why? Verse 5, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged this. See, they're rejoicing in God's judgment because it's righteous and because it's just. Now, I get this question a lot, and I'm going to choose this time to answer it to the best of my ability. One of the things sometimes people ask me is they say, well, Jeff, how could I enjoy heaven knowing I have a loved one that's lost and they're being judged for their sin? How could I enjoy heaven knowing that? Well, I can honestly tell you one basic answer to that is when that time comes, you're going to have a new body. You're going to be like Christ, and you'll view that judgment as righteous and just. That's how you'll view it. You're going to be a whole lot different than you are right now. You're going to be like Him. You'll view that as a judgment that God judges, and you'll view that judgment as being righteous and just. That's how you'll view it. Okay? Now let's turn back to Psalms chapter 97. I could show you a lot of other things, but you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Psalm chapter 97. You got the first 2 points? We'll give you a test on it after we're done. I'm going to have some of you, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to call on you, and I want you to stand up and give me the answer. All right. No, I'm not going to do that. Psalms chapter 97. Hollis used to do me like that in Bible college. I don't know what he softened. Softened as he's got older, I believe. Psalms chapter 97. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord reigns. He's on His throne. Rejoice in the Lord, number 2. Why? Because of the Lord's judgments. They're righteous and just in whatever He does. Okay? And I must go on to tell you, whatever He permits in our life, He's righteous and just. Are you with me? I don't know why God, He's righteous and just. I can't explain to you everything the Lord allows in my life or in yours. But there's one thing that I know. I know He's righteous and just. And whatever He does. You gotta submit. That's called being meek. You're submissive to the Lord's will. Without question. See? All right, let's go to number 3. Because of the Lord's blessings. I'm going to allow myself at least 10 minutes to deal with this. Because of the Lord's blessings is the third reason we gave to rejoice. And of course, there are several blessings that's mentioned here. Of course, the first one, you're going to think, well, how did you get that from that? Well, let me explain it. Look at verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, what's it say? Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Can I say that one more time? Ye that love the Lord, what's it say? They hate evil. Now, you say, well, how is that a blessing to rejoice in? Because that's an evidence of the new birth. You don't hate evil by your nature. Your nature loves sin. Matter of fact, the Scripture says that men loves darkness rather than light. But folks, can you look in, if you're here tonight and saved, can you look in here inside where you, do you hate evil? I despise it, don't you? I don't always do good, and even if I do evil, it makes me feel horrible, doesn't it, you? But can you look inside you, and can you see in you where you hate sin? You hate evil. Well, that's a sign of the new birth. That's a sign of the new birth, and that's why you rejoice that you hate evil. Now, there's a lot of people that say they love the Lord, but if you love the Lord, what to say you do? You hate evil. Jeff, I like to drink and I like to chase women and I haven't been to church in 50 years, but oh, I love the Lord with all my heart. No, you don't. No, you don't. You love that bottle more than you do the Lord. You do. You love that bottle. You love that sin. You love those things more than you do the Lord. If you love the Lord, then it evidences itself in what you do and what you like. Lord changes your wonder whenever He saves you. If that wonder ain't changed, there's something wrong. Lord don't save you and leave you the same. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You have a thirst for spiritual things, and you hate evil. Man, Jeff, where'd you go? How come you ain't running around with us anymore? I don't want to do those things no more. Were you a nut? No, I just don't want to do those things no more. Why don't you? What's the matter with you? Well, I'm serving the Lord now. I don't want to do that no more. See, I begin to detest the things, but to detest sin, see. And that makes you want to depart from it. We use the illustration all the time. You take nature of a cat and put it into a pig, it's not going to want to go wallow out in the mud anymore. You take the nature of Christ and you put it in an old dead sinner, he's not going to want to wallow in sin no more either. I'm not saying he's going to be sinless. I'm going to say his life's going to sway to godliness and he's going to have a desire to live godly. He's not going to love sin. Don't you? You know, if you don't love sin, you're not going to want to be around it, are you? There's places that I don't go to. I don't go to them because sin's practiced there. It's publicized there. It's popular there. So I don't go. I don't want to be around it. See? I like to go to church. I like to be around the people of God. See? Man, if you love evil and say you love the Lord, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to like heaven. Ain't no sin there. Oh, folks, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. It is. So ye that love the Lord, hate. What's it say in Psalms 97? Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. I see that in me. I hope you see it in you. And I rejoice in the Lord in that because that's a sign of the what? It's a sign of the new birth. That's why you hate evil. Let's read on. Now notice what it says in the middle part of verse 10. He preserves the souls of His saints. He does what? He preserves the souls of His saints. You know what the word preserve means? He keeps them. Is that a reason to rejoice? You better believe it's a reason to rejoice. Psalms 37 says that they are preserved forever. Who preserves them? He sure does. The book of Jude refers to God's people as the preserved in Christ Jesus. I'm preserved. I'm preserved. That means I'm kept by God. When a salvation is genuine and from the heart, God preserves you. That means He keeps you. What determines whether or not a person believes you can lose your salvation or not is determined by who the keeper is. If you're the keeper, you'll lose it. And He could never promise you that you'd never perish or never be condemned if your salvation was based on you. But He can say you'll never perish and be condemned because God's people are preserved forever. He keeps them, places in them the Holy Spirit, and they continue and they last, you see. So we rejoice because of His blessings. We're preserved. We hate evil. We've had a new birth. Let's read on. Just about done. Notice what it says in latter part of verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, that happens two ways. I looked at this a few weeks ago, and you can see in the book of Acts where Simon Peter was in jail, and they put chains on him. They put soldiers around him sleeping. They put him inside a cell, and then they had soldiers on the outside of the cell. Impossible to get out of. No way. Well, you know what happened? The church was praying for him. And what happened is the Lord sent a messenger. He sent an angel there, and he walked over, and he kind of woke Simon Peter up. He thought he was dreaming. Told him to stand up, and he stood up, and you know, all the chains fell off of him. You know what the guards were doing? They were just fast asleep. Walked out. Opened the cell, walked past those guards, walked on down to the gate to the city, and the gate of the city, that's the first automatic door ever talked about. It just opened right up in front of them. See? Next time you go to Walmart, you think about that door in the book of Acts. It just opened right up. See? Lord delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. So He delivered him from death that day. That day. Now sometimes He delivers from death. Does everybody agree with that? But you can also read there in the book of Acts that along the same time they took James, Herod did, and they beheaded him. Now, He didn't deliver him from physical death, but He delivered him through death. He took him right on home to be with Him. That's always true. That's always true of God's people. Whenever I pray for someone, when I pray for someone that's very sick, I always ask for the Lord to do what? Ask for Him to heal them. And I've seen the Lord deliver people from death. Have you? Miraculously, through medicine or through operation or through whatever, I've seen the Lord deliver. We've seen the Lord do that here at the church and made them stronger and made them better. He delivered them. Then I've also seen people that were sick, and I prayed for them the same way, and then they slowly got weaker and weaker, and then they died. That's exactly what you see. Well, did He deliver them? Yeah. He delivered them through death. He just came to a time and said, well, that's enough. I'm going to suffer no more. Come on home. And He brings them home. So those are the two ways that He delivers. Now, I would like to be like the charismatics. No, I wouldn't. And tell you that it's always God's will for you to be healed and always God's will for you to be healthy and rich. But that's a lie. And that's not what you see. And those same preachers that preach those things have people in their family that die from diseases, and many of them die from diseases. Showing everyone that what they're saying is not true. So sometimes He heals and delivers from sickness, from the enemy, from the wicked. Sometimes He delivers through death too. Now let's look at the last one. We'll stop. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. He puts gladness in your heart, doesn't He? Is that a reason to rejoice? Sometimes it's good to, when you pray, say, Lord, I've lost my joy. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. Lord, would You rejoice my heart? Put gladness back again in the heart, you know. Start reading His Word, you know, and He'll put gladness in your heart. Well, those are reasons to rejoice tonight, folks. And that's how He concludes the psalm. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. We rejoice because He reigns. We rejoice because of His judgments. And we rejoice because of His blessings. So those are three good reasons to rejoice. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. I pray that this message is a benefit to you in some way. The Lord's Word doesn't return into Him void, does it? Sometimes you preach a message, you go home and think, that was dead.